All right, we're going to get started this morning. And 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 7 is going to be our main passage. And we're going to have this morning, if Sam could read that, 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 7. Then Matthew 6 and verse 8, Miles, if you'll get that for us. Luke 12 and verse 30, Micah, if you'll get that for us. Psalms 23:1, Andrew, if you'll get that. 2 Corinthians 6:6 through 7. Kenny, if you'll read that for us. 2 Corinthians 6:6 through 7. Philippians 4:19. Brian Mitchell, if you'll get that. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, Ayel, if you'll read that for us. And then lastly, Genesis 22:14, Richard, if you'll get that, Genesis 22:14. Okay, we're going to continue our series on pioneer persistence. This is our third lesson. And just by introduction, pioneering is hard work, but it is rewarding work. And we're going to continue our series. And in this, Paul highlights setbacks that he has faced in ministry, numbers of setbacks that, are trying to hinder progress. But we know on the other side of all of this, we know the impact. We know the churches that were established. We know and read the letters that came out of all of that. So it's a picture here how he remained persistent and stayed focused even in the face of various adversities. So let's look at this, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 7.
But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left.
Okay, so we've looked at patience, we've looked at tribulations. Today we're going to look at needs. I want to look at pioneer needs. Let's lay a foundation. Let's talk firstly about need realities. Life is going to be filled with needs. Different things we're going to need in life. And God knows this and God speaks to it. Matthew 6 and verse 8.
Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly who you need before you ask
him. Okay, don't be like them. Who's them? The Gentiles is how he presents it. But unbelievers. Unbelievers stress and fret and worry and have anxiety over needs is the context, right? Jesus says your Father knows what you need before you ask him. God's very aware of this. So while we have needs in life, we can have a confidence or a security. Hopefully, that's what Jesus is trying to teach and remind them in that passage. Luke 12 and verse 30.
For all the nations of the world seek after these things, your Father knows that you need them.
Okay, these the generations or the nations of the world seek these things. Another translation says these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. What things again? Needs. Needs in life, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, where we're going to live, how we're going to pay for all of it, right? God knows that you need them. Your Father, Jesus says, your Father already knows your needs. So Jesus addresses all of this because it's true in life. Life will have needs. Well, this is also true in pioneering. Pioneering will be filled with need. Paul says in verse 6 of our main passage, talking about his pioneering and ministry experience. And he says, I've served God. I've labored in ministry. I've labored in pioneering. I've worked through a lot of different things in ministry, and need was part of it. Need was part of that experience. There were needs in my life in needs. So pioneering has various needs. Pioneering has building needs. Pioneering has convert needs. Pioneering has financial need. Pioneering has ministry involvement need. Pioneering has permit needs. Pioneering has advertising needs. Pioneering has needs. It's part of it. Sometimes the need is desperate. Sometimes the need is overwhelming. Sometimes the need is frustrating. Sometimes the need is difficult. So this is going to be part of the pioneer experience. So our job is to have room for the reality or the possibility. If it's part of life, it will be part of ministry. And we say that because some men, they give up on ministry. They give up on the will of God. They give up on because needs, or they don't process the needs correctly. Maybe the need has been prolonged. Maybe the need now has become overwhelming and it feels too great a need. Now it's just too much to handle. I don't even know how this is going to work out. So this is a reality in life. It's a reality in ministry. In our passage, Paul makes it clear he had needs. When you look at the book of Acts and the New Testament church and all of this that is transpiring, that Jesus put in place and in motion, we know they had needs. Peter had needs. The apostles had needs. Jesus, in his ministry, had needs. There were things that needed to be met. There were financial needs and all. So if Paul had needs in ministry, if Jesus had needs in his ministry, I prophesy to you, you will have needs in your ministry, in your pioneering. So let's look secondly at the source for meeting the need. Now, God is the answer for our needs. Right, that's what Jesus addresses in Matthew 6 and in Luke 12 and in other passages. God is the answer for our needs, but that isn't how some men approach it. And now men pioneering, pastors, it's not how they approach it. Especially because the need is so real and it operates very much in the natural. There's this thing, right? Guys get out, it's like, you know, I'll take calls and it's like, what do I do about, and some of it's practical, you know, some questions are practical and need practical guidance. There's other things, you need to get a hold of God. And sometimes it's like they're hearing it for the first time. Why? Because the need is just so great. The need is, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to meet this. I don't know how this is going to all work out or get sorted out. There's some men, they are so passive about their needs. They know God is the answer, but do they really know? Or do they really believe? Or they don't approach it spiritually. This is often what happens. I've talked with men and I've said, you need to pray. Why don't you go lay hands on that building? How about you fast? And it's like, again, they believed it in the home church, but now it's kind of like, but now it's real for me. And they, what happens is many men look for answers in the natural. They turn to sources outside of God. And this is what I've often seen. Some men, in their need in ministry, they turn to people. They think people will be the answer. A person is my answer. People's money is my answer. Or people, the mother church is my answer. Or the people, it's my pastor is my answer. He's going to have to sort this out for me. In some way, they make people the source for their need. God has to be the source for your needs. Some turn to credit. So now it's not people that are the answer. Now it's credit. I've seen pastors rack up credit card debt for the church in lean seasons. Why? Because credit's the answer, right? I can't figure this out. I can't sort it out. I don't know how. So credit has to be the answer. Paying church bills on credit with an interest rate, right? You're accruing more debt, more problems. But that's, again, because we're not looking at God as the source. I've heard stories of men that pull loans. And I'm not talking about like for a building or different things that they can handle and pay each month. It's like ready loans, quick loans. With enormous, ridiculous interest rates. Or I've seen people borrow from people in the church. Why? Because God is the source, but maybe they're the answer to my prayer. Maybe credit is the answer. Maybe, and you're turning to these things. Some people in their need, and this is interesting, their answer is to remove certain things. In other words, in need, I need money, I need building, I need converts, I need, and I'm not getting it and I'm not seeing it, so they start getting rid of things like Holy Ghost praise. Because here they think, if I get rid of things that are deterring people, if I get rid of the things that are weird or awkward for people, then maybe I'll hold on to good people that are going to help me get out of the hole here. Get rid of things like Holy Ghost praise. They don't speak in tongues. They don't hold prayer meetings. They stop pulling offerings. That's right. That makes sense. I need money, so I'm going to stop pulling offerings. We've had a consultant, you know, come and look at our church, and you know, we were looking for helpful advice, but one of the things they talked about, he had mentioned, was about offerings, and you actually still pull offerings. You know, lots of churches don't do that anymore. Yeah, fully aware. We tell people, we don't want you to give, but if you'd like to, I'm sorry, that's not biblical, number one. Number two is you're hurting yourself. So then why pull offerings at all? If you don't want them to give, then why are you pulling an offering? That doesn't make sense, but this is what people do. They think, if I get rid of things that make people feel awkward, uncomfortable, then they'll stay and I won't have needs. I'll have people, I'll have money, I'll have buildings, I'll have... Get rid of altar calls. Get rid of preaching. And I've seen this firsthand. Men, that it's preaching that's deterring people. So we'll do the Sunday morning thing, and then we're free Sunday night, Wednesday. We don't need more preaching. Again, it's an effort to appease people to staying in order to meet need. Finally, then, some men, they altogether quit. In need, it overwhelms them. They don't process, so they quit ministry. They quit calling. They quit God's will for their life. Please understand, I'm not talking about redirection. Redirection is in place to help people, to bless people, sometimes to save people, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, I have seen men, because of need, in one arena or another, they quit. Nope, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not doing that ever again. I'm not participating in that. Some, I'm not part of the fellowship anymore. Need was tied to that. Why are these harmful approaches? It's because these sources are always inadequate. If your answer is always people, it's going to be inadequate. at some point. If your source is always credit, it's going to be inadequate. If your source is to remove things, it's going to be inadequate. To quit, you know, you've surrendered everything. They are inadequate answers. God is the source for our every need in ministry. But that should be translated even in your personal life now. Is God the source for your needs today? Is God the source for your needs right now? If he is, that will translate naturally into ministry. When we needed money in New Mexico, when we needed a financial miracle, I called my pastor, and full disclosure, I fully expected him to bail me out. My source was Pastor Greg. My source was the Prescott Church, but he did the best thing for me. He directed me to God. He said, Jesse, you need a miracle. Yes, I do. That's why I'm calling you. You know? No, you need a miracle. And he said, you need to get a hold of God. And I did, and the money came in, and we didn't have that situation again. We didn't face that again. My pastor directed me to God. When we needed fruitfulness in New York, I remember calling Pastor Greg. I've done everything I know to do. And again, it wasn't that we didn't see anyone saved at all or we weren't seeing good breakthroughs, but it was just a constant turnover. The church was just stuck, and it was a constant turnover of converts every 6 months, turnover of families every 6 months. We weren't retaining. And when I identified and recognized it, you know, I'm doing what I knew to do, but I came to a point. Okay, this isn't working. And sometimes, right, what is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. I felt insane. This felt something, I don't know what else to do. I called Pastor Greg, explained my need, and he said, I don't know, you're going to have to get a hold of God on that. You're going to have to get a hold of God. He made again God the source. He directed me to God. When I needed disciples, my pastor directed me to God, because God is the source. God is the answer for our needs, whatever it is. Let's read Psalms 23 and verse 1. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd. And in there, it's giving the idea to shield, to guard, to feed. In other words, he's going to meet my needs. A shepherd meets the need. And what is it? How does it end? I shall not want, or I have all that I need. God can give you all that you need, but you have to make him the source. God has to become the source for all your needs. So let's close. Let's talk about bringing our needs to God. It is evidence of a settled security when you bring your needs to God. How do I know you've made God your source? You bring your needs to God. How do you know if you've made God the source of your need? You bring your needs to God. And I just want to throw this out there. How do we bring our needs to God? You can chime
prayer.
In. Prayer, okay. Prayer is a way we bring our needs to God. How else?
Reading.
Reading, okay, yeah, that could be so. And what do you mean by that? Why would reading be bringing your need to God?
Reading for your awareness from the Bible, like stuff to pray for so you can target, like this is God's promise.
Okay, good.
So I want to pray for that.
Yes, so laying a hold of the promises and applying them. Yeah, David?
Maybe going to somebody like a brothers or a pastor and have them agree with you in prayer.
Okay, having the pastor agree with you in prayer. Yeah, yeah.
Altar calls.
And what do you mean by that?
Just giving your life to God. And
okay, yeah. Yes, very good. So yeah, maybe a sermon challenges or speaks to a need and you go to the altar and talk to God about it. Absolutely, that's surrendering and humility. What else? How else do we do that?
Give to a specific need.
Giving, absolutely. How do I know God is the source of my finances? I tithe and obey Him. That's fundamental Christianity. And then secondly, offerings. I give for a specific need. Good. And what else? What else could be a way we're bringing our needs to God? It's our favorite thing we do every 6 months.
Oh, just talking about that. but talking with our pastors, just...
Yeah, yeah. And that goes back to David, yeah, getting agreement in prayer. Yep. And I heard it.
Fasting.
Yeah, well, nobody wanted to say it, you know. I ain't that desperate. So we fast when we bring... That's us saying, God, I'm relying on You. So we are saying in all of those, God, I trust You. I trust You. And in our passage, don't forget, it says that God becomes the source to face whatever it is we're dealing with. God becomes the source that equips us. These are 9 divine enablements in our passage. So I have ministered, I've been a minister in much patience, in tribulations, and now today we're looking at in need. This is part of the pioneer experience, but then verse 6, how? How can I do that? How can I work it? By purity, by knowledge, by love, long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. I need these 9 divine enablements at work in my life. See, God is the answer. And if God is the source, that enables me to continue pioneering in need. I can continue to do what I need to do through and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the miracle supply of God. I can continue because God has what we need. Let's read Philippians 4:19.
And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus.
Okay, by His glorious riches. And what are those glorious riches? Let's read again 2 Corinthians 6:6 through 7.
By purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand.
All right, again, these God has all that we need to equip us with what we need in ministry. Let's read 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8.
And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others.
Okay, so all that you need. Not some of what you need, not a little bit of what you need. All of what you need. And it can overflow. It can flow into other areas, that blessing, that provision. So, but this happens when we make God the source. And this goes back to what Robert said. In making a foundation or building a foundation on His word. And when we do that, we're able to contend. What does it mean to contend? It means to focus. I'm focusing in on a specific area of need. I'm focusing in on a specific arena, and I am praying for it. I am fasting for it. I am contending for it. But gentlemen, I want to encourage you, learn the lesson now. Learn the lesson now. What is the lesson? That God is the source of my need. Learn the lesson now. What's your greatest need right now in life? Have you brought it to God? Maybe your greatest need is finances. Have you brought it to God? Maybe your greatest need is in your marriage. Have you brought it to God? Maybe your greatest need is in your home, in your family. Have you brought it to God? Maybe your greatest need is fruitfulness. Have you brought it to God? Maybe your greatest need is anointing or supernatural dimension. Have you brought it to God? Learn the lesson now, and when He answers it, note it. Note it. There are things in my discipleship I still reference today. There are things that we experience in New Mexico I still reference today. New York, I still reference today. All of it is a sum total that has brought me to a point in a relationship with God that I have today. So learn the lesson now. And in future times of need, you'll be able to look back and see how God has met your needs in the past. And you know what? Answered needs in one area are transferable to another area. Need doesn't have to be our end. God wants to be the source. He can supply you with what you need. It's who He is, and it's what He does. Let's read Genesis 22:14.
Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided."
Okay. Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." That's who God is. But that has to go from your head to your heart. I close with this. Pastor Matt Sanderlin, pioneering in Boston, he had sent me a message some weeks back and wanted to read the text he sent. He said, "The word you gave us when we had the ordination service is truly coming to pass. We are getting a favor and asking for things that shouldn't even be considered. An incredible house at an unbeatable cost, utilities included. 3.5 church buildings that have been offered to us for free, one of which is on Beacon Hill, that's a main area in Boston. I have a parking lot in the heart of East Boston, 6 minutes from my house that I'm allowed to use at any time to park my car and take the train at no cost. So many people here are providing direction and guidance and help in getting our church in legal standing." Then he sent me this just this week. "I was just handed another set of keys for a second building here in Boston. You said to ask." And that's what he's doing. He's just asking, right? Offered 3.5 buildings that we were wondering what the half is. It was another part of this building. But yeah, he's in one now that is completely free of charge. They just held an outreach last night. I was going to see how it went. I heard a report, but I want to hear from him specifically. At this second building, he sent me a picture holding the keys. It says PHCFM, Potter's House Christian Fellowship Ministries. Handed over, they let him use that building last night for free for this event. Incredible. Why? Because God wants to meet your needs. That's not just for Pastor Matt Sanderlin. That's not just for when you get into ministry. That's for today. God can meet and be the source of your need. Okay, let's open it up for some questions that you might have there.
The example you gave of when you had you called Pastor Gray, obviously you had prayed about this before, finances, disciples. Pastor Gray said, "You need to get a hold of God." What would you say you did different that I brought the breakthrough?
Yeah, and that's a good question, and nothing. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like I did something that was so evident. I just continued to do what I had already been doing. I couldn't tell you that I felt more desperate. And again, it was the same kind of thing, you know, specifically with contending for the fruitfulness in New York. You know, the same thing continued, the same issues continued for a time. Some days I left prayer pumped with faith. God is going to move. Other days I left like, no, God's not going to move. I don't. I prayed, I poured my heart out, but I'm just not feeling it. Other days it's kind of like, we'll see, you know. But nothing fundamentally or that I could highlight really changed, but I kept God the source, and he answered. With the money situation, God really revealed to me that he wants this to work. And that was a crunch miracle, right? We had rent due Friday. We were over $2,000 short. And, you know, Sunday came and went. We just, it was some of the most terrible offerings, like, since we had been there, and it was 9 months or so that we were there. You need a miracle. Wednesday's our last shot, right? So it was very desperate in those Monday, Tuesday, and then hit Wednesday, and more than enough came in. It was a significant offering. And I said, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And I noted that, right? So it just looks different ways at different times, but ultimately I can't say that I did anything specifically different. If I did, I'd have written a book and made a lot of money by now, right? Yeah, Robert.
I was just thinking, this is just a thought, like, could it have been such a, like, can't really point out anything you did differently, could it have been maybe, like, I think I heard this term before, like, the point of contact where now you've got your pastor involved, and so, like, now he's praying, maybe do you think that could have, like, the point of contact could have been the thing that sparked it?
Sure, I mean, it's possible, yeah. It's possible. But either way, he directed me to God. At the end of the day, I had to get a hold of God for myself, right? Because I could have easily gotten off the phone and said, well, I don't know, and given up, like I talked about. Quit, been upset, resentful, right? A lot of different attitudes after that phone call. I had to make a choice. Yep. So at the end of the day, yes, our pastors encourage faith and can stir us and agree with us, absolutely. That's a way of getting a hold of God. But again, it's not like we had never had that conversation before. For example, in fruitfulness. It's not like I had never had a financial need before. There's many times he agreed with me in prayer, and just here as a disciple, maybe for money or resources or jobs or fill in the blank. So I couldn't say, again, exactly what it was, but sure, no doubt there would have been a help. Absolutely. Yep. Good. Yeah, Phil.
So I'm trying to put this in words, but so you were here as a disciple and he had, you know, worked with you on financial needs, and then you go out and then, but you had this moment where you said you literally expected him to help you.
Sure.
So how can we, if we have a financial need now, know that we're really looking to God, you know, rather than some other thing?
Yeah, again, it shows in what we explained, right? How do you know? It's evident. So what is the evidence? I'm praying about it. I'm fasting. I'm giving. I'm, you know, evangelizing. I'm all the different things we described. It's evidence. I'm not working like, God, now you owe me. It's their acts of obedience. Their acts of trust is what they are.
And could it be acts of, I've heard the word desperation? Like,
sure, I suppose that's possible. I've read stories, guys. It's like, for example, I remember one pastor, a good friend of mine, he fasted for his church 7 days. He was desperate. And then, boom, something broke through, you know. Now, is that the answer to everything? No, but for him, it was, yeah. Right? So you're it's evident in your actions whether you trust God or not. Yeah, good. Yes, Lynn.
Sir, so in the field, you're often in positions where it's, you have needs and they keep you on track, keeping you just crying out to God. What have you seen the guys that spin out, that lose that, and then eventually just begin to turn to things that get them off track? They lose success, or success happens and now they're totally off track, spinning out. What is it that keeps men on track, knowing their needs?
Yeah. No, a good question. I think always, Lem, comes back to the source. Who is the source of my need, and therefore, who gets the glory in my blessing, right? So when that, and that's what keeps you grounded. At the end of the day, every success, every breakthrough, every miracle, right? It would be easy, for example, in Richard's question, right? What did you do differently? Well, let me explain to you what I did differently. You know, and it's, I have no idea what to do except keep doing what I knew to do. And when miracles happen, which I'm going to preach on tonight, I'm going to speak of a miracle convert that is pastoring today. He was the result of that season of contending, and after that phone call, continuing to press through. Did it happen right away? No. But probably about 6 months later, he came into the church and is pastoring today. What a miracle. What a miracle. But who do I give glory? God answered a prayer. So in every blessing, in every success, what keeps you grounded is who is the source of that answer and blessing. Guys make it themselves. That's when they get dangerous. Secondly, is some men, they spin out maybe because they have success in other areas of life. So some men can spin out when God blesses them because they take credit. Secondly, they have breakthrough or success in another arena of life, but have not been successful in ministry. So they say, that doesn't work. Doesn't work. It's pastor's fault. It's God's fault. It's fill in the blank, whatever. And so because they have success in this other area, they take, I can take credit here. I'm not taking credit for that, right? And our responsibility even for that. So yeah, it comes back to the source. Ultimately, who is the source of your need and who gets the glory in the miracle? That'll keep you grounded. Good. Kenny?
The Bible says about, you know, this kind only comes out through fasting prayer. Is that only applied to healing, or is that applied to finances, all that stuff? So, like, if your need is really great in your mind, is prayer not in?
No, that's a good question, Kenny. And the answer is, sometimes you got to, number one, you fight things through, right? That's the one of the first lessons, is sometimes you've got to fight it through. And that's what I talked about, contending, which is focus. I'm focusing on this, right? You ever seen in a fight in boxing, the moment someone gets a cut on the upper eye, what does the opponent do? He drills that. He keeps hitting the heck out of that. That's a picture of focus. I'm seeing a little bit of a breakthrough. I'm seeing a little bit of, the enemy has a little bit of blood. I'm focusing in on that. I am going to drive on that. And you push that through. So that's the first lesson. The second is sometimes in that arena of healing, we need something more in us, right? Not just the bare minimums. We need something more in us. So it's getting I call it filling the well. Or like an account, like a savings account, you fill the account so that when needed, you can make a withdrawal, right? So that's really the application there is Jesus in his ministry. What did he do when he was not ministering to the multitudes? He was praying. And he went off. Why do you think he was going off to pray? He needed to refill the well. He was spending time with God so that when he could come down, he was able to pour out. There was something in there to pour out, right? If this cup, it's nearly empty, but there's just a little bit of coffee left, as soon as it's done, there's no more coffee coming in that. I need to refill it in order to have more. That's a picture of us. We pour out. And so we need something in the tank to minister. So it's twofold. Fight it through, and then you need more in you for ministry. Yep. Good.
So how does prayer look different in, like, financial need and abundance? Like in pioneering, obviously, like in both, you're still going to prayer and stuff, but just like in, like, the intensity of it, of praying.
Yeah, that's a good question, Micah. And I don't think that there's an intensity, you know, meter, or, you know, you speak more King James when you're more serious, you know. I don't think it's like that. You know, Peter walked on water, and when he sank, Lord, save me. That was the prayer that he walked back on water into the boat together with Jesus. So not a very deep prayer, you know, Lord, thou art the highest. Let the heavens bow down. Lift me up from the pit of my gloom and despair. And no, he just, Lord, save me. Screamed it because he was panicked. So at the end of the day, I don't think there's an intensity, but it really is just coming back to faith. I am trusting you. I have nowhere else to turn. What did Pastor Greg preach the other day? Sometimes, quite literally, cupping his hands and saying, I give it to you. I have to give it to you. I can't carry it. I can't answer it. That's just an act of faith. So, right, does this sound very deep? I give it to you. It doesn't sound very deep, but it is very deep. You're trusting God with it. Is that a very good question? Yep. Kitty?
What if you do see some small breakthroughs, but there's always that one that you can't get?
Yeah.
What do you do then?
Yeah, good question. You focus on it. Same thing. If I'm seeing other breakthroughs, what did David say? Again, Pastor Greg has said for years, right? Miracles are transferable. I fought the lion. I fought the bear, and this giant, he's going down like the rest of them. So if I'm seeing areas or arenas of breakthrough, blessing, miracles, God, it's unacceptable, and I'm going to contend for this arena. I'm going to focus in on this arena. I'm going to gather verses and apply it to this arena. And that's what, yeah, you focus in on it. Good. Phil.
In ministry, Pastor, when things are going well, do you still kind of bring those certain needs, like a financial need? Would you bring that before God? I mean, obviously you do daily, but do you kind of bring it with the same type of urgency you might if there was more like of a issue? Like, or do you just kind of address it in your normal daily prayer?
I think I'm understanding, and at the end of the day, it's all faith, right? And again, I think this is why Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, right? We're trying to put it into this formula and this understanding, like, okay, if I'm really serious, then I got to go, Father God, oh Lord, in Jesus' name, I need, like, you freak out, and I'm showing desperation. You know what? I can have the same desperation of, God, I just need you to move. I don't have the answer, but you do, and I'm trusting you. You're expressing the same faith, right? It just may be different per personality, might be different per need, volume of need, etc., how it looks, but that's not the point. God's not looking and saying, oh, he's really desperate. Look, he's pulled out most of his hair. We should probably answer. it's God looks for faith. And that's what it comes down to. I'm trusting you with this. So you can't put it into a volume box. Because then otherwise, right, I mean, and that's what they did in the Old Testament, right? When you were really desperate, what did you do? You ripped your clothes. So how do you know I'm so desperate? I rip my clothes and throw ashes on my head and wear something very uncomfortable. That shows, God says, rend your hearts, not your clothes. Deal with what's in here. So that's what God's after. Yeah, good. Good question. Yes, Robert.
So you said prayer, giving, fasting are some of the applications. Another one, like
Yeah, I mean, when I was lacking in seeing results in my dominion in altar call preaching, I went and talked to Pastor Greg, and I said, I'm seeing people saved after I preach. Visitors will come down and respond, but when I'm appealing, if you're here tonight, you want to get saved, raise your hand, lift your hand. How many would there be? No one. But then after we stood, 5, 6, 7 people are getting saved. So what can I do to get dominion in that? And he said, obviously prayer, fasting, giving, evangelizing, And he said, specific prayer. So I prayed specifically for 7 souls to be saved. The next time I preached, 7 souls got saved. God answered it specifically. That became a reference point. Yep. So those would be some things that you could do. Again, you get a hold of God in whatever you think that's going to look like. Yeah. Good. Yeah, John.
I don't know if I'm going to say this right. There have been times where you held up your hands and it just came to my mind. Oftentimes I have felt like God was holding me up like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably more times than not, I felt like God was holding me up like that. And, you know, I'm just reaching up and maybe a hand is grabbing a finger and I'm just holding on. So it's like, how do I get from there back to here? And you probably answered it: prayer, fasting, giving, outreach.
Yeah, they're all acts of trust is what they come down to.
Trust.
Who can I trust in life? I can trust God, right? And sometimes we wrestle through it, though, John. Sometimes we wrestle through that. It's part of the human experience. It's part of, you know, just working through some things. Sometimes certain things are harder than others, right? Sometimes I'm slandered over here, and it's like, whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm slandered over here, and it's like, and it hurts, and it's same slander or same issue, right? Sometimes yeah. I need a miracle here, and it's like, God, I trust you for it, and then I'll need a miracle here, and it's like, I don't know, is God still on the throne? It's just part of life, so you wrestle through it. But ultimately, it comes back to security. Who can I trust? And I'm choosing to trust you. I have prayed that at times, verbally, literally. God, I make the choice to trust you. I am choosing it right now. I am choosing to trust you. Right? I am entrusting this to you. And so, yeah, we're going to work it through, though, and wrestle it through. Yep.
Amen.
Yeah, Dan.
The pastors that you've seen that have been sent out, you're talking about men that respond in the natural to a financial need or whatever the issue they're facing. What is causing that? What are some of the things that you see most commonly that men will respond in the natural to that? Why aren't they initially
Sure. I mean, again, it could just be because of the nature of the need, right? Sometimes some men, it's easier to believe for healing than it is to believe for money. Why? I don't know. That's up to them, right? Others, they can believe for money, but it's hard for them to believe for healing. So it can come who they're making their source or what they're making their source can be need dependent. In other words, whatever the area is. Others, it's that they haven't settled their faith in that arena. Like, they struggle with money because they have not really settled faith and trust in God in that arena. They haven't worked it out for themselves. They haven't sorted it out, or they're doing only the bare minimum. Faithful to tithe, which is, God has ownership on that. But he has no other ownership on any of their other finances, offerings. They don't trust God really. So they haven't worked it out, could be the second reason. Thirdly, could be their own pride and ego that hinders them. Is no, you know, some men don't want to look foolish or look dumb. And if I say I'm trusting God for, and I don't get an answer right away, weren't you trusting God? That's how they think everyone thinks. Weren't you trusting God? So where's God? How come he's not helping you? How come he's not helping us? You know, fill in the blank. So they don't want to look foolish, so they don't say it. And pride, they don't surrender it. It's their pride blocking them. So there could be numbers of reasons, but I would say those are probably the top three that come to mind. I'm sure there's more. Yep,
I was just going back to the reference points and the different points in your ministry, the reference points. Do you, as part of filling the well, do you kind of rehearse on that to build your faith?
Absolutely. Yeah, like David did, because I learned that from my pastor as a disciple, when David said, I fought the lion, I fought the bear, now this giant. So I have prayed that. God, you helped us in our discipleship here in Prescott. I would pray that in New Mexico. You helped us in Prescott. Let's say fruitfulness. Give me converts like here in New Mexico. Then God helps, God moves. We know, we remember, we rehearse, and then you get to New York, and it's like, God, you moved in Prescott and Santa Fe. You're going to move here. You're going to answer. And yes, you rehearse those miracles, and they can be transferable, which is why it's good to keep record of answered prayers. Every fasting season, my wife, she asks, you know, and people, you know, help me pray for this or that. She writes things down. And she highlights answered prayers. So when we go into fasting, she looks back, going into fasting, saying, God, you answered before, and you're the same God you're going to answer in this season. Right? And it's encouraging, too. You look back, it's like, man, I prayed for that. I prayed for this girl, and she's married now. I prayed for that need, and they bought a home. I prayed for, she had part in that, right? And contended. That's great to keep a record and rehearse it. Good. Very good. We'll stop right there. Good questions. Appreciate your time.